in person, whether this is your first time with us or you've been here many times before, we are so glad that you are here for worship today. It remains warm in our sanctuary. There is water outside of the door right here. Please feel free to go and get some water if you need it during worship. Take care of your needs. In your bulletin, there is a connection card. We invite you to fill that out and place it in the offering plate later in our worship service. And if you have a prayer request that you would like shared out loud during our prayer time, you can fill out the card that's available in your pew and hand it to an usher during our opening hymn. There are several events coming up that I want to draw your attention to. This summer, we have been partnering with Habitat for Humanity to help build affordable housing for our neighbors. And this Friday, August 21st, is the final work day this year. If you would like to learn more, support this year's project, or sign up to join the team on Friday, please speak with Scott Deals and or look for more information at the Ministry Center in the hallway outside the sanctuary. Our board and staff retreat is coming up next week on Wednesday, August 26th, from 5 to 8 in the evening. If you are in an elected leadership role, you are welcome to join us, and you are encouraged to participate. Childcare will be provided, and we ask that you RSVP at the link, RSVP at fbca2.org/retreat, to let us know that you're coming. Join us as we explore what it means to be known, be still, and be love. And if you consider yourself to be a young adult, you are invited to celebrate the end of summer with an evening at the lake hosted by the Mills family. That is next Sunday, August 23rd, from 5 to 7 in the evening. Come and enjoy dinner and lakeside activities. Details are in your bulletin, and you can contact Jamie Mills with any questions you might have. All of our youth entering grades 7 through 12, along with our formidable youth ministry team, leaders are welcome to a back-to-school celebration lunch on Sunday, August 30th, after worship. We're looking forward to reconnecting as the new school year begins. Also on that same Sunday, August 30th, all parents and caregivers of children are encouraged to gather before worship from 8:30 to 9:45 in the morning for a children's ministry focus group. Zan and the Board of Christian Education hope to touch base with our families to see how things are going and to brainstorm for the coming year. There will be coffee, donuts, and childcare, so please let Zan know if you plan to be there for this important conversation. That's on August 30th at 8:30 in the morning. And don't forget to sign up for tea with Pastor Laura. You can find that sign up along with so many other opportunities to get connected and to serve at fbca2.org/connect. Now, welcome to all who love God and seek to serve the Lord. Come as you are, for God delights in the fullness of your being. Come and let us worship God together.
Thank you. Lord God, we thank you for gathering us together today in your presence, in the presence of one another. Lord, preserve us in the chaos of this world that you have made, and that we continually unmake, and that we continually have the responsibility and burden and joy of remaking together. Community is a blessing. Let us build that community with one another, and let your love reign. Lord, give us tongues to speak, and ears to hear, and hands to do your work today. Amen. Join me in the responsive psalm. O God, be merciful to us and bless us.
May your face shine upon us.
Let your ways be known upon the earth, your saving power among all the nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God, and let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide all the nations upon the earth. The earth has brought forth its harvest. May God, our own God, bless us.
O God, bless us. May all the ends of the earth stand in awe of you.
Can I see some of your silly faces? Anyone want to make some? Yeah, a silly face. Make a silly face. I see there's a few. Yeah, those are some good silly faces. Miss Anne is out of town. I'm doing my best to be a Miss Anne replacement. I know. So, we all can make some good silly faces. I wonder, what do you think God's face looks like? What was that? Do you think maybe he has a really big smile? I bet his face looks really kind. Anyone else? Some ideas? What do you think God's face looks like? How do you think it feels, maybe, to have God's face shine on us? Happy? Yeah, I bet I'd feel happy. Happy, totally. Excited. Yeah. Ooh, joyful, yeah. Eager? Yeah, we made me feel eager to have God's face shine on us. Yeah. I bet it would feel really, really nice. And that's something we can pray every day. We can say, may God's face shine on us. Loved, yes. I bet we would feel so warm and loved. Grateful. Lots of good feelings, right? And we can say that prayer anytime, right? We can say, may God's face shine upon us. We can feel that love, right? We can feel that joy, that eagerness. We can say that whenever we want to. We can feel that love and feel all those good things. Yeah. Oh, like feel it might feel like you feel with your family. Yeah, because God is our family, right? We're his family. Oh, like mommy. Yeah. It might feel like when mom looks at you, right? And you go, oh, that feels so good. Right? Yep. Should we all say that together so we can feel, right? We can picture God's face. We can picture how it feels, and we can say, may God's face shine upon us. May God's face shine upon us. All right, guys, are we ready to go to the children's space?
Let us join our hearts together in prayer this morning. God of mercy and healing, you are Lord of all, embracing the estranged, blessing the banished, reconciling the rejected. We cry out to you now, confident that your provision is abundantly more than enough to preserve the church, to redeem the world, to deliver the afflicted. For your people gathered here and for the household of faith near and far, we pray. That the church may practice your reconciliation, embrace your mercy, and support your healing for all, we pray. For unity and harmony to flow freely among your creatures and throughout your creation, we pray. For reconciliation and new beginnings among estranged families, nations, and peoples, we pray. For healing, for those who are afflicted, rejected, marginalized, fearful, forgotten, we pray. For those whose names we now lift in your presence, we pray. for Kristen Reynolds and her family upon the death of her father, Paul. And we pray for Noreen, Donna, Grange, Pidgey, Kathy, Judy, John, Mary Margaret, Erica, Marilyn, Keith, Marlene, Roberta, Mervyn, Esther, Marilyn, Helga, Cindy, Greg, Keith, Beth, Bob, Emily, and Martha. We stand before you, O God, confident in your everlasting embrace, your healing touch, your loving care. And we continue in prayer as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You'll please rise again as you're able with me for the reading of our gospel today from Matthew's gospel, chapter 15, 21 through 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of God for the people of God.
I have a bumper sticker that has hung on bulletin boards in my office or my home since my college days. It comes from the Susan B. Anthony House in Rochester, New York, where a friend of mine worked for many years. It was a gift from her. And it reads this: "Well-behaved women seldom make history." These are words taken from the work of historian Laurel Thatcher Ulrich, a Harvard professor who researched and wrote on women in early American history. And her research showed her that well-behaved women seldom make history. And I think that's a sentiment that rings true when we take a look at the women throughout the biblical canon. Women in the Bible tend to be bold and courageous, and not so quote-unquote well-behaved. And indeed, I don't think anyone would call the Canaanite woman in today's story well-behaved. The story begins this way. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. These were coastal cities in the Roman province of Syria, Jesus has entered into Gentile territory. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." This bold, brash woman shouts at Jesus. She raises her voice and calls attention to herself. She yells for him to heal her daughter. And the text tells us that Jesus ignores her. And then it seems that she keeps on shouting because the disciples tell Jesus, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." And the disciples don't like it. They're uncomfortable engaging with a Canaanite woman. She is a Gentile and from a specific group of people who were enemies of ancient Israel. And at the urging of the disciples to dismiss this woman, this one who represents someone both foreign and hostile, Jesus finally answers her shouting with a boundary. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He's essentially saying, "My work, my healing, my miracles are not for you." But this woman is desperate, and she does not seem to care much for these boundaries or for decorum. And so when she is confronted with this dismissal, the woman audaciously presses forward, kneeling at Jesus' feet, traversing barriers set not only by patriarchy, but other cultural norms, set by religion and ethnicity and a long-standing enmity between peoples. She is a Canaanite, a Gentile, he a Jew. And she pleads with him, "Lord, help me." And Jesus replies to her with what I think is one of the most shocking statements Jesus makes in all of Scripture. He says to her, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Excuse me? Did Jesus just call this woman a dog? Statement seems to reinforce all those boundaries of ethnicity and gender and religion. Jesus seems to say that his ministry, his divine healing and teaching and miracles are not for anyone but the Jews. He said, of course, a few minutes ago, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." And it seems here that Jesus doubles down on that boundary. Today's text offers us a significant interpretive challenge. We must wrestle with this portrayal of Jesus and attempt to decide what is going on here. Why would Jesus go so far as to call this Canaanite woman a dog? Some have argued that Jesus is not endorsing this perspective, but instead he is dramatizing this interaction in order to teach the disciples a lesson. We might consider Jesus setting up a scene in which this woman, whom he can plainly see as bold and assertive, can challenge the cultural and religious boundaries and the disciples' assumptions with her cleverness. Maybe Jesus is setting the woman up to win the argument on purpose. It's a task that she does masterfully. She responds to Jesus by turning the metaphor upside down. She declares, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the Lord's table." This Canaanite woman points out the truth of God's abundance. There is enough. Enough of God's grace and love for all. Maybe she heard the rumors of that miraculous feeding of thousands. Maybe she heard others talk of this man's healing ability. Maybe her desperation to save her daughter has brought her to someone whom she never expected to approach for help. Through this woman, the Gospel of Matthew shows the outward movement of the good news of Jesus. The gospel is officially on the loose. And the Canaanite woman is a pivotal hero in this story. The tenacious mother who helps Jesus open up the circle of salvation to a wider world. Some scholars claim that Jesus himself is mired in his own cultural context, and this story portrays him learning and changing. His humanity is highlighted here as he finds himself challenged, confronted with a different perspective, and he chooses to respond differently based on this new information. This interpretive approach aligns itself within the tradition of others who are said to have changed the mind of God. Abraham argued with God about the destruction of a city. He asked God, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked?" And in their exchange, God promised not to destroy the city if there are just 10 righteous men within it. And again, in conversation with Moses after that golden calf incident, the writer of Exodus claims this: "The Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he had planned to bring on his people." So the Canaanite woman herself stands in that ancient lineage of lamentation and struggle with God. Like Abraham and Moses, she argues and stands her ground and prevails. Like Jacob, she's not afraid to wrestle with God and insist on a blessing. Yet this idea that God could change God's mind is uncomfortable for many of us. Another interpretive angle might be that the Canaanite woman urges Jesus to open up his ministry quicker than he had intended. She doesn't change his mind per se, but she's prodding Jesus to recognize that his mission or the kingdom of heaven really has already come near. Given the ambiguity of the interpretation of Jesus in this story, we are left to wrestle. We can't know exactly what was on Jesus' mind. We can't know whether Jesus was transformed by this woman or if he set her up to make his point for him. Either way, we can know one thing, and that is that the Canaanite woman is the hero of this story. After she challenges Jesus and proclaims those words, "Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their Lord's table," after she wins this verbal sparring match, Jesus says to her, "Woman, great is your faith." And then her daughter is healed. Just one chapter earlier, while they're out on the water and Peter begins to sink, Jesus says to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Peter was the ultimate insider. He was one of Jesus's closest disciples and the very one upon whom Jesus will declare that he will build his church. Peter has little faith. But this Canaanite woman, an outsider, one whom Jesus encounters at the very edge of his world, she has great faith. What is it that makes this woman's faith great? What does she have that Peter lacks? It seems that a defining feature of her engagement with Jesus is persistence. Even when Jesus dismisses her, she persists in her pursuit of healing for her daughter. The woman believes in something greater than those around her can see. She has a deep wisdom that tells her there is more for you and for your daughter. She understands that God's grace is abundant, that there is more than enough of healing to extend beyond the expected and to include even her daughter. She models a full-bodied pursuit of what she needs from the divine. For her, faith is not simply an intellectual pursuit. Faith is persistent. Faith is that which seeks a better life for the oppressed here and now. Faith is truth-telling and holding up a mirror to privilege and prejudice. Faith insists that God's justice is for everyone, even now. In his letter from a Birmingham jail, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. expressed his frustration that the white moderate was creating a stumbling block for justice. By disagreeing with the tactics of the civil rights movement, many people who claimed to support their work, or at least their ultimate goal, were actually making progress more difficult. Dr. King wrote this: "First, I must confess that over the last few years, I have been gravely disappointed with the white moderate. I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in the stride toward freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice, who constantly says, 'I agree with you in the goal you seek, but I can't agree with your methods of direct action,' who paternalistically feels he can set the timetable for another man's freedom, who lives by the myth of time, and who constantly advises the Negro to wait until a more convenient season." Dr. King modeled a persistent faith. He believed that something better was possible. Dr. King, alongside so many others in the movement, persistently, boldly, courageously sought justice and freedom. In this letter, he speaks of the disagreement with the movement's direct action tactics. And in today's Bible story, the disciples were uncomfortable with the Canaanite woman's disruptive shouting. But well-behaved women or other marginalized persons seldom make history. A persistent faith in God's generous abundance and grace spurs many to bold, courageous action. Might we be so audacious as to live out our own persistent faith? Might you be so courageous as to have a persistent faith and to act upon it, even now. Amen. God has shown us the meaning of generosity in the beautiful diversity of creation and the overflowing love of Jesus Christ and the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit. God has abundantly blessed us and called us to be a community that honors each other, to serve others with joy, to share our love extravagantly. Let us rejoice in what we have been given and in what is ours to give. Let us worship God with our giving. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us greet one another with signs of peace. Now may the generous blessing of our loving, abundant God fill you, sustain you, and send you out into the world with a persistent faith. Go in peace. Amen.